Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Glass Cannon Network. It is Saturday morning, and this is what I'm doing instead of watching cartoons.
The greatest compliment you could give us.
I would obviously be watching reruns of Dragon Ball Z on Crunchyroll.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That checks out.
I've never seen Dragon Ball Z. I've never watched
it. It's quite good. You would like it.
I've heard it's good. I think I probably
maybe there's some sort of generational gap between us. Just a little bit.
Just when it came out, I was already at retirement age.
and you had time, damn it. You could have done the work.
I did. I was wasting it with my grandkids and fishing and didn't see any of that cartoon at all.
Anyway, we're here with Pendragon. We're excited for more Under an Iron Sky. We've got this wonderful cast. If you skip the winter phase because you've been taking crazy pills. Yeah, dum-dum. I was trying not to be insulting. I wasn't sure.
A lunatic.
A degenerate lunatic. And you skip the winter phase.
Lunatic.
You missed a doozy. And I assume everybody on this show has been spent the last week since we recorded just mulling over exactly what happened and trying to figure out how
I drew an eyeball in my notes.
Oh, what's that? What's that about? Why? Guess you a little in joke for everyone who watched the winter phase. Everyone listened in.
Yeah, right? They'll find out if they didn't watch why there's an eyeball there.
And Paula holding up that notebook to the camera is just one of many sight gags you can miss if you go to jointhenaish.com and get this in order. I'm joking, of course. Like getting this, there is no value you
if
can
you
place
in the
ability.
If you want a chance to miss that, go to jointhenaish.com for the audio-only version.
A rare chance to not experience that sight gag.
But no, so you can put no monetary value on the ability to listen to this while you drive your car, and I think that is worth it. So I think and I think Under an Iron Sky is in the second tier of delicious glass cannon goodness you get when you sign up.
You got to be a premium subscriber,
exactly,
Brian, to get
that's what it
your
is.
Games.
Yeah.
And it creates a direct unique feed right to your phone. Gorgeous art generated by Chaosium's artist Pendragon Under an Iron Sky. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yes, it's amazing. Love it. I love it. sorry. Just getting into one battle after another bit now. But last time I did that in a public, I was on stage at PAX Australia with like 300 people watching a game of Call of Cthulhu in this beautiful room. And someone in the game mentioned they were having a beer. And I just looked at everyone and said, just a few small beers, and nobody fucking laughed because we're an uncultured society and no one goes to cinema anymore.
We missed out on that
exactly.
Phenomenon.
I know. It was too early. Anyway,
a few small beers.
if you are not uncultured swine, you can enjoy in the retelling of the Arthurian legends yourselves by playing the game Pendragon that we are playing here on this show. And to support the show and to support your own gaming habits, you can use the code PENCANON3. That's Pen Cannon with a 3 at the end of it to get yourself 15% off anything in the Pendragon line. And that includes the section on the Chaos Scene website called Pendragon Lore, where you can get an annotated, illustrated copy of La Morte d'Arthur by Sir Thomas Malory.
Whoa.
And yeah, I know. And you can get the Arthurian Companion by Phyllis Ann Carr. And there's also a comic book, a graphic novel of the first part of La Morte d'Arthur that you can also get your hands on for 15% off.
That's so cool.
And also, get a recent Pendragon release, such as The Sauvage King, which I'm holding up for a thing. This book, now, I'm obviously biased. I did not write this book. I was a producer on it, but I haven't really properly read it until, because I'm old school, I like to have a physical book before I really dive in. This is so cool. It is so cool, in fact, that I'm probably going to use it extensively in this show.
Yes!
So I don't want to awesome. I don't want to tell you what is cool about it until after we play it. But let me just say, this book's like maybe 85 pages, maybe a little bit longer. There is a startling amount of playable content in this book. And I don't just mean like, oh, there's four 20-page scenarios. There is like a system for procedurally generating adventures in a way that is so exciting.
Oh, and, that's my favorite
that's what
thing.
I want to do it. Yeah,
yeah, when you can put together methods by which you procedurally generate adventures, it's like, it's my favorite thing in role-playing right now. Mm-hmm. Procedurally generated adventures.
That's kind of our jam really right now. A lot of the stuff we're playing.
We're in the zone.
The other thing that will be out...
I heard you.
When this airs, I didn't hear.
What did you say?
I was thinking about,
Sorry, everyone. I asked Joe if he likes procedurally generated adventures because as a GM, he's lazy.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Seriously.
Oh, my God.
Makes you appear omniscient. Yeah.
I've learned it's the best quality a GM can have.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Get out of the way. Let the
players fucking do it.
Let the players do it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just feed them. Yeah, exactly. So the other thing that will probably be out by the time this airs, but is not out right now, so I can't show you, is actually the Pendragon Noble's Handbook, which is the third and final core Pendragon book, which has like extensive stuff for, you know, it extends the winter phase, which I think is why we're all excited for it. But there's a whole bunch of stuff on that. But that is the third core book. You can go get it. And go get yourself a copy of the magnum opus edition of the core rulebook that like Skid has just got here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like that. Does anyone...
I don't know if you can hear...
Yeah. Hey, what is that?
My carbon monoxide detector is having its batteries being changed. And it's being put back up into the hallway.
Awesome.
And it's beeping. Wow.
Either that or you've got a carbon monoxide leak.
You're sure
it's the former, right? Because
the batteries need to be replaced.
We would just see Paula like
just slowly
playing piano, and then suddenly,
Just warning, guys. I won't die in the middle of it. Thank you, guys.
If you watch me faint, send for help. Glad it's not that.
My poor partner just stuck his head in here. Sorry.
Tell him I said hello.
Everyone. If it's not yogurt, it's carbon monoxide detectors. Look, I'm just here to describe it, okay?
It's always something.
Paula's two favorite things.
Something over at Paula's house. What is going on over there?
It's fine. Test is finished.
That's great. I'm really happy for everybody.
Test complete.
All right. I'm not sure how much time that killed. I'm worried about the length of time for this recording. That's good. It's good. We were just talking last week about how we needed more clips. More clips. More clips. Yes.
More clips. There we go. Clip it, I guess.
Anything else anyone wants to say before we start playing some Pendragon?
Big week of validation for conspiracy theorists on the internet. This week with a bunch of files being dropped, and that's all I'll say about that.
Boy.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
And on that note,
I want to spend longer on that.
I think there's new insight later.
No, there's new insight. But I will say, it's something that is timeless with conspiracy theory. Someone said to me once that the great way to sound like a conspiracy theorist is just to mention two things that the CIA has actually done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a huge fan, by the way. Like, that's one of my love languages. Send me, like, conspiracy theory. Fucking hear about this thing?
Did you know that I read this in an actual book, not on a TikTok or anything, in a real human book written by a person recently.
Still doesn't mean it's true.
in the 60s, I guarantee you it is. I guarantee you this is real. Because when I tell you, you're going to be like, there's no way that's made up. In the 1960s, when the American government was testing different fighter jets and stealth planes, they had the pilots wear gorilla masks. So, if any other pilots in the seat would see them, they'd be like, I saw a gorilla flying a plane. And you would sound like a crazy person. And that sounds ridiculous. It's literally that bit from The Simpsons where it's like, we're spraying you with rum so no one will believe your story.
So, no one will believe your crazy story.
That's right. Well, what? And it's like, well, I mean, what? It's either a gorilla flying a plane or for some reason the pilot had a gorilla mask on. Which one's more plausible to you?
Yeah, that's strange but effective.
I think that is brilliant. And that is why. You're the most powerful nation in the world because of decisions right. like that. Well Thank done. You. No problem. No downsides. Sorry. Okay, let's play some Pendragon. Let's dive in.
Thank God.
Hark! Gather now and hear the tale of church bells and babies' cries. Hear of knights which dashed love and renewed hope. Such knights of virtue caught in a web of the making of one unknown to them. And a spider spinning a dreadful web before their very eyes. Hear now what became of them.
This is Pendragon. Under an iron sky, and our adventure today is called The Queen's Wedding.
Queen's Wedding. What am I going to wear?
Chills. I got chills.
It was in the depths of winter that the Lady Gwenhilt of Montacute announced her betrothal. And in the height of summer that she was to be wed.
Oh no, poor Skid's character.
I different love a summer woman. Wedding, though.
Different woman. I made that mistake. Different woman. I started to think this was going to be a fun thing, but no, there are two women.
Oh, you're right.
I know
it's
you think all
Montacute.
Women are the same.
They just all sound alike.
That's an assault on my voice acting.
Who we thought Joe's character would try to seduce, and then he didn't. And Lord Robert's mother is who Skid's character is
in love
into.
With.
So, yes, just not because yeah. I got it confused, but in case the audience had gotten it confused.
Exactly.
Those are the Skid, two women that the story can accommodate.
Exactly.
It's all like right. Tolkien.
Yeah, exactly.
We're at capacity.
Except they get screen time.
Right.
Just as a side, Skid, do you have the love passion for Lord Robert's mother? I can't remember if we generated one for you. I think you said you opted into it.
I thought you did. Yeah, I thought I did, but it is not reflected on my sheet. This is the most current version of my sheet. I made sure I do not have it now.
Okay.
Well, because I think enough, I made like a deliberate choice to continue on with my questing career instead.
Mm. Okay.
So, I don't know.
That's all right. Okay. Just have a think
also,
on that.
Also, by the way,
that.
I did invent a coat of arms for Sir Caradoc.
You didn't do that like a year and a half ago?
No, I did it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe it can be linked in the show notes. Is that a thing you do on your thing? Do you link things in the show notes? Like here's a link
to we could put it right up on screen.
Imga file?
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, this is exciting.
Amazing.
That
amazing.
Is cool.
That beast we slew.
A horrible, evil beast that is on your thing. No, I love the colors. It's great. There's a sword. There's a double-headed axe. There's two moons. And I guess a sun motif. But also storm clouds. And this is kind of like, I think this is an Anna Winter thing where you need to take one thing off before you left the house. I think you guys have been too much going on.
I think that's Coco Chanel.
It represents the amount
is
of
it? Sorry.
That the
Sorry,
giraffe
it's my
is
fault.
Facing.
I thought I was being such an ally then. With my Anna Winter reference.
Such an ally.
No. Okay. Sorry. Joe, did you have a question? Sorry, you were trying to speak and Skid kept interrupting you.
Yeah, no, not a question. A statement. I was going to say, funnily enough, while Skid did not put on his sheet a love passion for Lady Robert's mother, I do have a hate passion for Lady Montacute. Whose wedding it is. I do. I have a hate passion. Because I was so mad at her. And you know what? It's been so long, I don't even remember why. No, it was because she lied about being in this relationship with this guy, and I felt like she was responsible, at least partially, for getting all of her men killed. If you remember.
Yes, of course.
I discussed this back then, and I was like so mad at her. And then that's when I was going to court her, when I hated her. And I was going to be like, oh, I'm going to deceive her and try to marry her and get all her money and then just like never love her, but, you know, get all her stuff.
But wow. I bet eventually you would have fallen for her, though. And then she would have found out. And then you would have had to explain, like, well, that's how it started. But now I really do love
But now
you.
I have feelings.
Paula, this isn't a romantic comedy. This is Pendragon.
It could be always.
It's a harsh,
always
cold
a romantic comedy.
Every game I play in becomes a rom-com.
And Sir Quiggin would never date that Lady Gwynhilt, what with the glasses and the ponytail and those overalls.
She likes
what
painting.
What the hell? She likes painting. What the hell?
She's so weird.
She reads many, sometimes.
Many have gathered at the Montacute Halls to bear witness to this most holy union. The town of Montacute is abuzz with happiness and excitement, and they await with bated breath what is sure to be days of merrymaking. Many high lords and ladies are rumored to be in attendance, even, some say, a queen. It is in the late afternoon on this wedding day, before the ceremony, that we find our brave knights sworn to Lord Robert, here at the behest of their lord, to celebrate. And I'd like to ask each of you, because I've just bombarded you with this information, I'd like to ask each of you how you might be feeling about this event or this betrothal, and perhaps what are you most looking forward to, if anything?
I mean, Caradoc is definitely looking forward to finally a proper opportunity to show off his new cloak.
I thought you were going to say his orate or poetry skills, but no, his beautiful cloak.
Well, he did love, you know, an opportunity to do a reading.
Yeah.
But failing that, at least he's going to look fabulous. Actually, I do want to ask you, too, if I did want to add a love passion for the lady.
I believe it'll start at 1d6 plus 4 or plus 5, or it might just be 2d6. Someone who's better at the rules can check that for me.
That sounds like a Joe job to me.
I think it is.
Joe loves.
It's like in the late 80s, I think. Love passion. Oh, 87. 87.
Well, you actually
might not tell me
know
there.
The page numbers?
No, I've got it open. Spoilers for later. I've got it open to that page for another reason. So Caradoc, how are you feeling about this event? It'll be under generating a passion, I think, Joe. Generate a passion? He can't hear me.
I think I'm pretty... so much energy has been directed just into healing from all the damage that he took.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's excited about a courtly event. He's definitely like excited about a courtly event after being sort of pent up in hospital for so long, especially.
Dame Fiona.
A new passion begins with a value of 1d6 plus 6, though the game master is free to adjust the modifier or number of dice rolled depending on the situation and personal preference. Oh. Sorry, Joe.
All right. Paula beat you to it.
I just had the most bizarre. situation that has ever occurred with a core rulebook. Just happened to me. I pulled it off my shelf, which is behind me. You can see it there, right there.
We watched you, do it.
I grabbed it. I pulled it off the shelf. I brought it back over here. I felt this strange tugging as I was like trying to get it open. And bookmarker things.
The ribbons
got caught on something and it just unraveled it like all the way to here. So it stuck to the bookshelf and reaching like 10 feet across this room to this book. And then it got like super frayed.
Oh, no.
And I was trying to cut it with scissors and it wouldn't cut because it's like all this fray. Just bizarre.
Yeah, that's the thing that'll only happen to Joe specifically and is not at all a quality control issue at Chaosium.
No, that is a natural one, Joe's situation.
So I'm sorry I missed it. You already got the rule correct from the core rule book, Paula.
How's the ribbon in your book, Paula?
Mine is
perfectly intact.
Good.
Perfect Paula's perfect ribbon.
So it's 1d6 plus 6, which I, as the game master, can alter in any way I like. But I'm not
going to.
Would
you like to alter it at all?
No. 1d6 plus 6. Unless, because we were supposed to do this a while, do you think that a while ago, do you think his love would have grown or waned? In the previous years?
Oh, that's tough. You know what? Let's just see what the dice say.
All right.
One.
So seven. You love that seven.
Okay. Yeah. I love you seven.
Okay. It's kind of like more like a uncle-nephew situation, right? Like, well, hey, that guy.
It is. It's a courtly love. It's a courtly love situation. Yeah. Not Courtney love.
Yeah. Courtney Love. That's a
not to be confused with a different situation.
Anyway, Dame Fiona.
Yes.
Dame Fiona.
Yes.
How are you feeling about this wedding?
I'm so excited about this because it means a big party. I'm going to get to indulge. I'm going to find someone I can be lustful with, and then the next day I can nurse a hangover and be lazy. This plays to all my most favorite traits. And I love love, and maybe one day I'll have it for myself.
Yes, you are like...
I'm pumped.
You're how old? 20, 29
I'm
now? Like spinster
20...
age, right? I think everyone's like 23.
Four.
And you're 24.
24 this year.
Okay.
I should be looking out for a man probably at this point, yeah.
Oh, I think it's far too late.
Yeah.
Missed the boat on that one.
Yeah.
Or a lady. I mean...
Yeah.
Our finger dragon may vary, you know? Yeah. Who knows?
Exactly right. Sir Quigan.
Okay. I have to open with an apology. When Skid put graphics up onto the screen, I had to do some production stuff that made me miss who she's betrothed to. Who is it?
Oh, we don't know.
What you missed is I didn't mention it. I was saying it, but I can tell you all now because somebody asked. She's marrying a mounted sergeant named Maurice.
Oh.
A mounted sergeant? What does that mean?
Crazy old Maurice.
Crazy old Maurice, yes.
Always good for a laugh.
What is a mounted sergeant? So he's
like fairly, you know, high up in the army.
So not a knight, but a
mounted
person
sergeant.
Who rides a horse
so
in the battle.
So there are two things. She is marrying beneath her station.
Yeah.
But she is older and a widow, right?
Right.
The other thing is, Dame Safina, what's your pride versus modest?
Pride versus modest. Good question. Oh, they are 10 and 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you to roll against your pride.
Okay.
Because Maurice, if you recall, which you may not, it was a while ago, this was the potential suitor that Dame Safina rejected.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I love this. So I guess my pride.
Does your pride factor in?
It's amazing.
Pride is a 10.
Okay.
And I rolled a 9.
Okay, so check your pride box and you can have a think just before we get to you about how you're feeling. I was leaving you to last,
okay.
So I could tell you this.
Because that means
your pride is swelling. So you're maybe maybe heart hurt a little bit, maybe. Because you rejected this guy.
I thought that meant like, oh, you're getting my rejections.
It could be like,
my leftovers.
Yeah. That's definitely a way of reading it.
My leftovers. Because remember,
if you recall, you rejected this guy. One of the factors as to you rejecting this guy was that he also had a bastard child.
Yeah, he loved me first, but I said no.
Yeah, exactly. So she's probably being a bit over. So, Sir Quigan, that is who Lady Gwenhild is marrying, the Mounted Sergeant Maurice, who is a man in his 40s with a bastard child and is beneath her station. But he is in terms of his station, where he's at, he is respected for what he is. He's not like a dropkick, but, you know.
Great. So, if I'm not mistaken, I'm a vassal knight with a small holding on Lady Montacute's land, right?
Correct.
Like Arna, yeah.
Yes.
I believe that
somewhere
that's
nearby.
Where...
Somewhere nearby, yeah.
I believe that's where it ended up being. Like, it's like kind of her whatever. And so he's fine with it. He's happy about it, I would say. Because all he thinks about is himself. He's 15 selfish. And so it's, how does this affect me? And in thinking about how it affects him, I think that this guy is not a danger to go, like, you know, digging into inheritances and who, what belongs to who. I think he's just...
He's not a learned man.
He's happy to be there, right? Yeah. Like, lucky to be there kind of thing. He's like, all right, this is working out well for me. This is working out well for me.
Are you here with Lady Diana and your young son Jasper?
Oh, we're at the wedding now.
And I'm saying, well, it is happening today in Montacute. The ceremony is tonight.
Yes, I believe he is traveling with his wife and his young son and his baby daughter.
That's right.
Daughter?
That's
right. I forgot about the daughter. Yeah.
So did I. Until you said
that down. What was the daughter's name? Did it become daughter name? All right.
I'm going to look that up right now.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Did you at least go to her christening? Or are you refusing to go to church for too?
I had a lot going on.
Says the pagan in our group.
Says the pagan.
And Dame Sophina.
So this is what immediately popped into my head before you made me roll, but I think we could work it in. Mm-hmm. I think Sophina loves a wedding. Loves love. But one of her things that she's always wanted to do at a wedding is she's always, every wedding she goes to, she's like hyper vigilant for any sign of this lady does not want to marry this guy. Because she wants to just sweep her up and like take her away and like save the day.
That's the nightly dream.
That's the nightly dream. Yeah. So, I think because she's marrying this guy, who she thinks like, oh, why is she why is she marrying him? Like, she, I'm sure, has other options. Is like, okay, I will celebrate and I will act happy, but the second if I see something that doesn't sit right with me, like, she's gonna try to whisk her away.
Mm. I would also so there's probably a moment where before the ceremony. Where, you know, you all probably gather, you know, in the town of Montacute, maybe outside the hall. It is a lovely summer day. Maybe underneath that tree that from which the giant strung up all those knights.
The dead body tree.
The dead body tree. Because this is the first time you've been together in the same place for a while. And for some of you, this might even be the first time you've seen Sir Quegan in quite a bit. Yeah. I'm not sure if he's been coming to court on the reg.
No.
But it might be the first time
he's been keeping his distance.
Yeah. So Quegan, do you think you will have seen anyone since you lost your eye, do you think?
No. I think he's been laying low and he's like a little paranoid. And
the eyeball.
There's another close-up shot of the eye if you'd like to go to YouTube and check that out.
Yeah.
I think that this is the first they're seeing him since the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you covering it up at all?
Yeah, good question. Are you like
what are we looking at? Cross it? Basically,
yeah, just how do you
exactly see?
He's got
stuff a sock in it.
Fake eye, a little glass, like a ruby in there.
Oh, I don't know if he's that. Sorry,
I'd say he's got like a nice wrapping of plain cloth. I don't know.
Leather?
I don't know if it would be silk, but leather. Like perhaps. But it wraps around his head and his eye. Like if you could picture, I think of like what's his name? Beric Dondarrion in Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah.
So it's that sort of like, it's not an eye patch with like a slimmer cord. It's like the same
like
size
an eye
all
sash.
Around. Yeah, like an eye sash. Mm. Well, eye sash. Well said. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, Sir Quegan. It's a quite rugged look. It suits you, actually.
This one eye looking at Fiona just sort of like dart, like looks in her eye and then darts away and looks back at her and holds long. And there's like an intensity there. Something that wasn't there before. Sorry, I was
I was ambushed on the road in the forest and unfortunately was unhorsed, and before I struck the bastard down, he managed to take an eye.
And he's like barely making eye contact as he's saying it, looking this way and that.
Can we see if we're trusting or suspicious of this?
I was going to ask everybody except Sir Quiggin to make a roll, depending on, you know, you can choose if you'd rather check trusting first, if you think your character would more likely just trust what Sir Quiggin has to say, or if you are more suspicious, you can begin by checking suspicious. So each of you make your decision and roll first, let me know. And Sir Quiggin, what is your dishonest versus honest?
Dishonest versus deceitful versus honest. I am 11 deceitful, 9 okay. honest.
So you just go ahead and check that deceitful box.
I succeeded in my suspicious role because there was something, normally I think Fiona is rather trusting, but there was something in the way Joe described how Sir Quiggin was saying all of this that it worked. I rolled a 208.
Okay, nice. Please check your suspicious box. What about Sir Quiggin? Sir Caradoc.
I'm a little more trusting than suspicious, and sounds perfectly reasonable to me, and I rolled against trusting and I succeeded. So,
okay. Yes. Check your trusting. Yeah. And Dame Sophina.
I failed against my suspicious, even though trusting is a little higher.
Okay, so because you failed against it, roll against your trusting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I succeeded in my trusting.
Yeah. Sounds believable to you. And check that trusting box.
Oh, and it's so perfect that it's Fiona that's suspicious. Yeah. So perfect.
Oh, well, perhaps you could tell me more about that at a later time, Sir Quiggin.
Perhaps, yes. Well, it is good to see all of you. I've been convalescing at home for quite some time. It is nice to be out again.
He's like looking up at all of you, remember? He's a short dude.
Sure,
looking up at all of you.
You.
My love, are you not going to introduce me?
Oh, I'm so sorry, dear. Yes, this is my lovely wife, Diana. Or is it Diane?
the lady Diana.
I don't think she's been properly introduced.
and your two children. And your
ever get
two
yourself? Children. Ever get yourself in that awkward position to introduce someone whose name you don't remember?
Oh my God.
Oh my
yes.
God. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Brutal.
Every time.
So brutal. You're just like, you guys
every,
just.
And
this just give guy, the old point. Let him
dog.
Introduce, him, let him introduce himself.
Let
each other
have at it.
Anybody need a drink? Yeah. Walk away.
So, yes, the Lady Diana is here with the, I guess, nearly 2 year old Jasper and the. The fairly newborn baby.
I just chose a name. I just
what
chose a name.
Claire?
And this is my newest child, the baby Yvette.
Aww. Well, you've lovely. Certainly been busy. She has two children. I'm terribly
yes,
sorry.
Are,
that
we are blessed. We
I'm
are,
terribly we, sorry that you missed the blessing of the land in the winter, but. It's very
oh, yes.
good to see you.
I heard about it. I heard it was quite lovely, and I am sorry that I missed it.
Why
blessing
did we not
the land
go?
Is
the,
quite
the
important.
Land blessing. Why didn't we go?
Be quiet!
Oh.
I'm
speaking with my peers.
I should have laughed at that. I'm going to look
I mean,
right down the barrel.
He is an unbelievable
he's such an asshole.
I'm looking right, let's not forget. I'm right down the barrel. Nobody on this podcast or at Chaosium.
At Chaosium specifically, Chaosium
supports this kind of behavior too.
Absolutely not.
This is
no
fiction for the purposes of entertainment.
Be, it is absolutely wrong. Yes,
absolutely. No, but seriously, what were you saying? I didn't hear you. I wouldn't shut up.
Oh
She had attempted. She was attempting to ask why they didn't go to the betrothal, to the land blessing. And I think you telling her to be quiet because you don't have to explain that is perfectly reasonable. So she just, you know, flinches and turns away and goes to stand in the sun with her children while she waits for you to be finished. Not sure how. Can you also? I'm just check your cruelty box. I think that's fair enough.
That seems fair.
I mean, he is a 13 cruel.
Yeah, there you go.
Sequina, she seems lovely. I don't know why you shouted her like that.
I just want to clarify. It was the speed with which Joe went to yelling.
I just like, as you were talking, I was like, I didn't hear anything he said, and I feel bad for talking over him. But then I was like,
I can cover it by being mean to my wife.
Covered over by doing what Quigan would do.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, sorry, role playing. Go on, sorry. So it's Dame Fiona, you said something.
Oh, it's just, she seems so lovely, Sequeak, and I don't know why you need to shout at her that way. What a beautiful family you have.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well, my old friend, I suppose it is true what the bards say. He puts his arm around Quigan. Says, when God takes an eye, he gives you a daughter.
Yeah. Is that what they say?
I'm fairly certain I've heard that before, yes.
Well, strange god you all.
It's as true now as it ever was.
I am sorry. I am sorry for the outburst. And I did not mean to miss your land blessing. I was feeling unwell.
You know, I believe you.
Could you all please
slightly more trusting than
so I'm gonna ask.
I'm just
ask
seeing
you.
How irritated he is. I'm just like, yeah, it's probably for the best. But, you know, you were convalescing and all.
Could I please get everyone as you head toward the ceremony to make an intrigue roll? Just let me know if you succeed. Ooh, and intrigue. As always, I've been reminding everybody to check the boxes.
I got a high one now.
Yeah, you got a lot of intrigue. I remember
saying that. Intrigue's super failing. 15.
Yeah. I spent points on it and I succeeded.
All right.
10 under 13.
And check the box if you succeed. Check the box.
I also succeeded.
Nice. Right.
Those of you who do succeed, you happen to just have heard. So, you know, because Maurice has a bastard son, he apparently has no interest in Lady Gwenhilt's ward. That's the rumors you've heard at court. Does everyone need a refresher on who the ward is?
Robert, right?
Our baby that we brought over.
Oh,
the baby.
And what do you mean he has? You mean the new husband has?
The new husband is like, he's already got a bastard son, and apparently the rumors at court are just like, he's like, oh, fuck, there's a ward as well. Just fucking hell. I don't want to have to deal with that. In so many words.
So, Dame Safina, I hear that this major, or this mounted sergeant, is not interested in the ward. And obviously, we took great pains to make sure that the child was taken care of. What happens when he is uninterested in taking care of the ward? Does it just mean he's an absentee father, or does it mean they get rid of the child altogether? Why are you laughing at me? I don't understand what's happening. Sorry, what did I miss?
I'm not laughing. I'm still thinking about the last thing.
It was really funny.
He goes from shut up, woman, to what's going to happen? What's going to happen?
I'm sorry. Ignore me. Go on.
It is really funny. He's so concerned about the stranger's child, and he's like, this other strange child is yelling at his phone.
Honestly, what does this man have even to offer this woman? She's of a much higher station than he is.
Yes, it is strange.
She has the means to care for this child. I don't know what he brings to the table.
Expected to care for his child, and he's not going to contribute to hers? I just want to
quickly ask, Dame Safina, do you think anyone else knows that you you rejected this guy?
Oh no, I can tell them now. Plus.
Plus.
A couple of years ago.
A few years ago, he asked for my hand in marriage, and I said absolutely not.
Well, it sounds like you made the right decision, Dame Safina.
I mean, somebody who doesn't care for a child when he has one of his own?
Is that why you rejected him at the time? What was it about him that made you decide not to take his hand?
Well, obviously anyone who'd have a child out of wedlock, she says, and not Nora. Is far beneath someone of my station and yes. of my devotion to the Lord.
Well, that goes without saying. But
Davy,
I didn't know you were aware of he had a bastard. All right. Well, it's all coming together then.
Well, perhaps we should all keep an eye out on the ward at this event and make sure that this child is not being mistreated outwardly.
There is a bit of... let's just always try to find the selfish with Sir Quegan. There's always a way.
Yeah.
There's always a path, right? Back to you. And I feel like, isn't this kid... Like, Sir Quegan, after his whole episode in the winter face of 5-10-8-D, might not be utterly convinced that this kid doesn't have some kind of curse.
Isn't Ike actually a changeling?
Yeah, and that could, you know, like, if he's not being watched constantly or taken care of correctly, could be problematic. I don't know. It's interesting.
He is now, the baby we rescued, if I remember correctly, was a boy, and he would be, what, like three now? Is he a bit
two,
older than Jasper?
Two.
Is he the
two.
Same
a little
age
bit,
as Jasper?
Yeah, Jasper was born that winter phase. He's a few months older than Jasper.
Great.
You could swap them and no one would know. They're still that age where basically they're just little flesh puppets. They don't really have a face yet. Yeah, no one would have any idea. At dusk, the ceremony begins. The guests have arrived and have filled the church. The peasants litter the ground outside, waiting in silence, with hope to overhear the vows of their lady and their new lord. Within those limestone walls, the pews are filled. The attendees raise in prayer and join the hymnal and watch as the Lady Gwynhild takes the calloused and scarred hand of her now lord husband and are presented for the first time to the congregation. Each of you may gain 25 glory for witnessing the wedding from within the church walls.
Man, I love getting glory just for being in a place.
I know, somewhere.
It's like being a celebrity. Yeah. That was our appearance fee.
Yeah. However, it is back at the hall where the real celebration begins. After sundown.
Which I've been looking forward to.
Trestle tables are filled with food. Troubadours from France play lute and viol. Beer and wine flow freely. Knights rub shoulders with lords and ladies of the court. In attendance, among others, is Lord Edwalin of Modron's Forest and the mercenary Llewellyn.
Ooh.
Lord Owen.
That's your man.
He who led the battle against the foul King Lot and his servants, including, of course, the jester Snoopy Winkles.
Oh, Snoopy Winkles.
What? The holy brother Melian is here.
Mm.
Also, of course, Lord Robert and his lady mother share a seat at the high table beside the groom, his bride, and the now 2-year-old ward, Thomas. And they are just some of the noteworthy subjects. I will ask before we continue, could everyone please make a glory roll? Remember, this is dividing your glory by 100, I think. 100. 100? 1,000. You want to be able to roll on a D20.
Oh.
And, you know, it's not going to be 29, whatever you have to roll.
Do we round down?
It would be by 1,000.
You round up. 1,000, that makes more sense. Thank you, Jack.
Okay. Yeah.
Very difficult.
So our glory is so low that we are unlikely to succeed at this, right? Like that would be
correct. Except for Sir Caradoc will get a +5 to the roll because of his cloak, his robe.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
And sorry, we're rounding up or down.
You're rounding up.
Okay. So I just need to roll a 4 or under. Nope.
I failed.
You failed? Just let me know if you fumbled. He's got the cloak
again. I'm sorry.
Again.
We're dividing by what?
1,000. 1,000. So whatever the first... What is your glory, Dame Sophia?
If I'm rounding up, it's going to be 3,000.
Yeah. So 3. You want to roll a 3.
I have to roll a 3.
Mm-hmm. Or less.
Or less.
Or less. Jesus. Okay. Nope. 13.
Okay. And Sir Caradoc.
I succeeded.
Hey!
Because
of the corpse.
Okay, so those of you who failed, you are seated down the trestle tables further away from where the salt is. If you remember this
right. Right, yes. Oh. Yes.
However, Sir Caradoc, he is seated further up, closer, not right at it, but closer to the salt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to dress for the proximity to the salt that you want.
I'm also going to use this as an opportunity because I mentioned the wine and the beer and the food. There is actually expanded in the Pendragon Game Master book, which you can pick up if you haven't already with the code PENCANON3. There are additional rules for intoxication.
Oh, cool.
And indulgency. Nice. So I'll ask everybody to please to roll against their indulgent. However, if you feel so inclined, is anyone here think their characters are particularly into wine? Because there is good wine here. If you think your character is a wine versus a beer drinker, let me know before I will tell you what it's going to do.
Definitely more of a... So, this is interesting because I was thinking about this, trying to look at my numbers here. I am slightly more, and I liked this, slightly more temperate than indulgent. I was an 11 mm-hmm. to a 9. And I thought that I gotta lean this. If you listened to that last winter phase, what happened to Sir Quegan is insane. Like, it's so insane. Yep. I will not let it go lightly. So I feel like he's got to start drinking some wine a little more than he used to just to get sleep.
Yeah.
I think that he might be moving toward that indulgent sort of behavior as he's like self-medicating, right?
Yeah. So, okay. Just anyway. Like the Godfather. Just like Don Corleone.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that's really how it's going to go, but
this might be fine.
I think I want to roll indulgent on wine to see if that's what he does.
Does anyone else think that they are more of a wine drinker?
I think I'm a wine drinker. I think Caradoc's a wine drinker.
I think Sophina would be too polite and would drink whatever was offered, but she is very extremely temperate. But does that mean she has a low tolerance to drinking? Mm-hmm. Don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think a low tolerance for drinking, I think.
Yeah. Okay. She probably does not indulge.
Yeah.
I think she would drink whatever was offered her, but I think she would be a very lightweight and would be a quick drunk.
And Dame Fiona?
This is tricky. I think Dame Fiona is a beer drinker.
Okay. So those of you drinking beer, when you make your indulgent roll to see if you are indulgent, and that's if you, you know, would rather do that than roll against temperate first, you get +2. Those of you who are drinking wine and wish to roll against your indulgence gets +5 for your indulgent roll.
So it's really good wine?
Yeah. It's wedding wine.
Excellent.
So we're more likely to fail this then is what we're saying.
If you roll against indulgent with the bonus, you're more likely to pass it.
To succeed at indulgent.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, so my indulgent would be... So if it's a 10, it's like I'm trying to roll under a 12.
Because correct, because you like beer.
Thank you. I misinterpreted what you're meaning. Yes, great.
Mm-hmm. And Dame Sophina, do you want to roll against your indulgent or your temperate first? Do you think she will try and avoid herself, or...?
I think she would try. She is a goody-goody.
Okay, so roll against your temperate.
Okay.
Let me know what you get. We'll resolve yours first because this is the most narratively interesting.
I rolled a 4 under 15.
Oh, you're fine. You are the mistress of your domain, the lord of your castle. You're fine. how did everybody else go with their... You all rolled indulgent, the rest of you?
Yes.
I rolled indulgent. I've been planning to you know, get wild at this party. And I prepared well. I took one of those like hangover gels beforehand. I think I passed a 7 under 12 of my indulgence.
Remember to check any boxes you succeed the roll at. So Caradoc, did you succeed or fail? Or
I did succeed at my indulgence. Yeah, he's been injured. He's been in concussion protocol basically for a couple of months. So yeah, he's ready to let loose.
And, in and out of the blue tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that reference. And
congrats.
Sir
Quigan.
You congratulated me because Tyler Shuck won the Pepsi Rookie of the Year Award.
Yes.
I meant the only award that really mattered. Anyway,
that's right. the award that really matters.
Super Bowl. That's yeah. the team that gets that award.
I succeeded, and I love what I rolled, too, because your plus four took it to 14. I knew that he's kind of like
was
on
it
the
a Chris?
Edge here. It was not, but I rolled a 13. Oh. So it's like close.
Wow.
He's
right, so those of you who succeed, this is, I'm using the intoxication results on page 49 of the Game Master's Handbook. Your success means you are drunk, so you get plus five to flirting, orate, lustful, yes. reckless, indulgent, and valorous, but minus five to everything else.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yes.
Amazing.
So that's page 49 of the GM book, which I think you all have one. It's plus five to flirting, orate, lustful, reckless, indulgent, and valorous. And minus five to everything else. Just if you need to reference that again, page 49. Anyway, I just wanted to set up those two things before we really got into the scene. So who's drunk and who's sitting where? And I've mentioned there's a whole bunch of people here. This is fairly freeform. So Quigan, you have to
drunk, hand up. Far from the salt.
Yes, drunk, far from the salt.
That's where I am as well. Where is Snoopy Winkles?
Snoopy Winkles, he's like dancing and jigging around up and down the aisles while Lord Owen, you know, sits with his other servants and eats. Well, probably not with his servants, sits with his other friends. Above the salt, he's a lord. And is enjoying the food. And Snoopy Winkles is dancing, prancing around, chipping around. You know, the troubadours are playing their music. It's a very pleasant hall to be in. There's lots of merry making.
I have two things I'm interested in doing, and I don't know if now is the time to tell you them or wait.
Well, no, I've given everybody a whole bunch of people that we know and things that they might want to do. The other thing I'll say, if anyone's maybe thinking, I'm probably just going to sit for a bit. I don't know if I want to start conversations with any of these people. I will let you make an awareness roll to see what, you know, chatter you might be overhearing as well. That's another option you have. But it does sound like Dame Safina knows what she wants to do during this event. So let's start with Dame Safina.
Yes,
fucking me again. Dame Fiona, because she just asked me.
You can start with Safina.
Yeah, but yeah, let's start with Dame Safina, because you also know what you're going to say.
Yeah, Safina is sober-ish, and she is trying to overhear some conversations, but maybe if there is anybody nearby who's like a lady-in-waiting who would know how, like, the tea on how Lady Montacute is feeling about this union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. So you do find a lady in waiting. She's the, you know, it's just one of Lady Gwynhild's one. You probably know her, right? Because I think you're a pretty personable person. You know the people that you run the Sunday school and the summer camps and all that.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
She knows people.
Yes.
Oh, she's got friends.
Dame Safina, how are you? Good morrow to you.
Oh, good morrow to you. I'm so thrilled for this. I love a wedding, don't you?
Oh, yes, it is most magical seeing God's union manifest on Earth.
And to no better person is it worthy than for Lady Montacute, of course. I do wish her the best. Don't you think it is wonderful that she is to wed this Maurice fellow?
Oh, yes, but she looks about. I hear the groom has a bastard son. I'd not want a ward on top of that.
You know what? I wasn't going to say anything, but I also heard the same thing, and I'm not sure. I mean, it's not my place to say who the good lady would want to wed, but I thought that she would have a little more discernment than to make that sort of decision. But who am I? Who am I to judge?
Oh, just no, of course. Who are us? But again,
yes. Go ahead.
Like Sarah, the serving girl who does their bedchambers, she says the groom has gout. Can you imagine a husband with gout at that age?
I know. What is she doing? She has so many better options. Not that I would ever judge anybody, but also. Do you think she's like into this man? Do you think that she's happy about this, or do you think this is a marriage of convenience?
Are you implying that you can marry for love?
I mean, it happens. I've heard. But
I think these halls have long been without a man. That's what I think.
You know,
but I'm just a bit different to other girls.
You don't know who am I to judge? I'm not judging here whatsoever. But what if, like, she needed assistance in, like, maybe she's being, do you think she's being coerced or being forced into this situation?
Well, maybe. I mean, that's the only way I would marry a man with a bastard son with gout.
Gout?
Anyway, I must keep going. God. I must keep going. I'm sorry. I'll see you soon. Yes. Next blessing.
Toodles.
Dame Fiona, do you know what you might like to be doing?
Yes. The first thing I would like to do is find a moment to perhaps go over to Snoopy Winkles. Hello. Hello, friend.
Hi!
How are you?
How are you?
You and I perhaps have things to talk about.
Hark! Know I not of what birds and storms do brew behind eyelids. Ask me now what I dost know? No, nothing do I. Or is it a no, I say, when you ask what I know? No, no not, no!
I know that you know what I know. I believe. Can I look? Does he wear the symbol that he showed that I saw in my dream that Merlin had?
He's wearing a lot of layers. Mm-hmm. You know, Merlin. Remember, had the and it was only when Merlin stooped forward to you that it sort of hung out from beneath his clothing. So if he's up to the neck in his mm-hmm. his jester's outfit.
What I have to say is, I know the mission. I will see it done. And should you ever need of me, you just let me know. And I know you're going to act like a fool here, because that is what you do. But I know, and you know, and we all know what I mean?
They notice not the serfs. They see only those who dare make contact with their eyes. 'Tis best I cackle, jest and jape, lest eyes match mine and think me clever.
Yes.
And he dances away.
Alright, good. You did it, Fiona. He knows that you know that he was in your dream. Alright. Now, just cast my gaze about.
As she turns around, mm-hmm. Sir Quegan is right there.
Sir Quegan!
He's one-eyed monster.
One-eyed monster. Like right at her waist level.
Yeah, he tripped over you.
Here I am about to scan the room for possible eligible partners. What? And there you are.
She turns around and he's a little wavy on his feet and he's got a goblet in his hand.
Are you holding your
eye sash? And the other eye is looking at you with intense suspicion.
You know, I'm not interested in having an extra like, you are... Infidelity is not for me. Just to be clear.
What business have you with the fool?
Well, I believe he is not what he presents himself to be.
What do you believe he is?
Well, if I tell you, you'll laugh, like they all do.
No. No, I will not. What do you believe he is? What is he doing here?
You can hear him in the background.
Do your balls hang low? Do they jingle as you go? Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie them in a bow?
Now hear me out. I know it sounds wild, but I believe, I say it quietly in his ear, that is the Archdruid, Merlin. In disguise. The old ones are coming back. We must usher them in, Sir Quegan.
How do you
know?
And
I know.
How do you know it's him?
He came to me in a dream.
When? How long ago?
When I was recovering from my injuries after our battle.
After our battle?
Yes.
Not long after.
asking me all these questions? What happened to you? You didn't get robbed off your horse. I don't believe that for a moment.
And he just starts to stumble away, drinking.
No, Sequoia, I told you everything! You cruel, selfish bastard!
And maybe...
Finally, somebody said it.
Maybe Dame Fiona will hear the rest of the story, or maybe not, but we'll find out after the break that I forgot to do earlier. So, let's take a break now. We'll be right
back.
We
really gotta hit a break.
With more Pendragon. We gotta hit a break. We'll be back with more Under an Iron Sky. Stay tuned.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Changes in sexual performance are more common than most people realize, and support doesn't need to feel awkward. With MedExpress, everything happens privately online. Start by completing a short consultation reviewed by UK-registered clinicians. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly to your home, with ongoing support whenever you need it. You're not alone in this. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
And we're back here on the Glass Cannon Network with Pendragon, Under an Iron Sky. If you're enjoying this, if you're immersed and you're excited and it makes you want to play Pendragon, you can do so yourself. You can play Pendragon. Literally nobody is stopping you. Not the creed, not the long arm of the law. You can just do it. Just go to chaosium.com. And you use the code PENCANON3 and you get 15% off any Pendragon stuff. And I'll remind everybody that if you're not sure and you just want to try, you can buy the PDF version. And then later, if you want to upgrade to the hardcover, you actually get a coupon code to get the price of the PDF off the hardcover, because all our hardcovers come with the PDF.
That is really cool.
So you can do it in reverse if you want to just dip your toe in.
You have no excuses.
You have zero excuses. There's no reason not to do it.
Do you pick... A specific type of paper for these books that you don't use in other books?
Yes, it's uncoated Munken paper is what it is called.
Yeah, it's awesome. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's like a matte sort of just awesome.
It feels like parchment.
It feels like parchment, but it's lightweight, but it's thick. It's awesome.
Yeah. Not to get American Psycho about it, but it is very cool. But it is great paper stock.
Subtle off-white coloring. Okay, so we are deep into this wedding celebration, and I'm going to ask Sir Caradoc, what is he doing for the first part of this feasting time?
I think he wants to take this opportunity, with his enhanced, chemically enhanced lovemaking capacity, flirt with Lady Montacute.
With Lady Montacute or Lord Robert's mother?
Lord Robert's mother, sorry.
Okay, she's using the two women again. It.
What is Lord Robert's mother's name?
Yeah, we should start there.
I shall use this opportunity to learn it.
I just worry that I've given her a name in a previous session that I can't remember.
I am certain I wrote it down somewhere.
Okay. Well, my fair lady anyway.
I was going to use
the name. She is at the high table, too, with the bride and groom. And Maurice, you get your first proper look at Maurice. He was probably once a relatively handsome guy, but he's got like a pretty full-on scar on his face, like one of those chunky ones that really bites into your flesh. And his hair is pretty oily, like he hasn't had a proper scrub for some time, like a true sort of like on the road, lived my life as a soldier kind of guy. and he's eating with his hands, which is normal, but, you know, he chews with his mouth open. But I will remind you, not an unattractive man. Perhaps just a man with unattractive qualities. Depending on how you feel. I mean, people marry men like this all the time.
Okay. So, yeah. I'm not...
Just letting you know, that's exactly what he looks like. Oh, you didn't want to flirt with him. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, Robin Smothers is also there.
Maybe I'm not paying as much attention to him.
She's also
can't
there.
Can't take my eyes off of you.
Yeah, wrong guy. She's there with Lord Robert, is deep into his teenage years now. He's there and he sees you approach and he says, "Hail. Hail, Sir Knight. How are you? You remember, of course, my lady mother." She looks at you.
She apparently has no name. I didn't write it down.
Okay.
"Hail. Hail, my lord. And hail to you." He does a big drunken bow with a awkward sweep of his beautiful cape.
Cloak. Everyone goes, "Ooh."
Stands up. "My sweet lady, fairest in all the seven kingdoms."
What?
"You will forgive me for saying it, but thou truly hast a bottom that doth not quit." "And I can no longer hold my tongue about it."
Are you trying to make an orate roll here, or a compose roll, or are you just rolling against your lust?
Pretty poetic to me. Yeah. I'll do an orate roll.
Or flirt.
All right.
You're flirting, but
you do get +5 to your orate. Oh, flirting. Do you want to make flirting roll?
Yeah, flirting.
Roll?
Yeah, it's flirting.
Mate, what's your flirting then?
It is one less than my orate.
Okay.
But I have a total of 14. I rolled a 4.
Oh, okay. Ooh. You succeeded. Now, some people, such as the lady in waiting, who Dame Safina was talking to, whoever heard this, were like, like, "Oh my god!" But Lord Robert fucking pisses himself laughing. He thinks this is the funniest fucking thing he's ever seen. And Lord Robert's mother is sort of very demure, but she does not look offended.
Ooh!
And Maurice is, and chicken flies out of his mouth. "'Tis good knights we've got here. Good Harry to you, sir. Harry to you." And Lord Robert says, yes. "Sir Caradoc, well done. Yes, no, many people are fond of my lord mother. Isn't that right, mother?" And she nods and sort of just, you know, she's trying to, you can tell she's trying to hide a little smile, but she is blushing.
Whoa.
"Well then, my sweet lady, my cape and I will take our leave."
And he sweeps the cape.
Okay.
And he gives her a bold wink.
Oh.
And then turns and sweeps away, stumbling over a serving girl.
Okay. And can you please have 15 glory for everyone witnessing you successfully flirting with your liege lord's mother? Sir Queegan, are you doing around this time?
Yes. He's stumbling around. And he's watching the fool from afar. And as he does that, it's just like, to his eyes, he just sort of transforms into that fairy that like creeped around the side of the tree. Yeah. And he's just blinks for a distraction. He shakes it away, looks to the side. "Brother Marion." "Brother Marion."
"Sir Queegan, fancy seeing you here?"
Yes, you're hilarious, Marion. You're quite funny. You know,
yes, for my sins.
Well, I suggest you don't go walking about in the woods by yourself anytime soon, or you may lose an eye.
Oh, good sport, Sir Queegan, good sport. He slaps you on the back, like clap, clap. It's maybe a bit too hard. Oh, yes. Tell me. What have you been up to lately?
Oh, a lot of thinking, Marion.
Well, you know, there are no secrets between us, Sir Queegan. We We share many secrets.
And his trust, eye, like, lands on him.
Trust is very important, wouldn't you say?
Oh, indeed, brother, indeed. It helps to have people you can trust at court,
yes, doesn't no. it? I would say my two most favored things in life are trust and owning land. Probably the two most important things.
Yes. Oh, speaking of which, I've been so terribly rude, brother. Have I not yet invited you out to see the land for yourself?
No, really,
you must come and dine with the lady Diana and I.
Of course.
Diane. I don't remember.
I filled out Diana. Your marriage certificate. I believe it is specifically Diana. No, I would love. I'm here. She is very fond of you.
Oh. You should check the quality of your spies, Melian. I'm afraid you may be quite off on that one.
And he's spies? How very, very dare you? Oh, very. Dame Fiona. He calls you from nearby.
Oh, yes. Brother Melian.
Could you believe that your compatriot, your comrade, Sir Quegan, implied that I had spies at court?
I think it's pretty obvious that you do.
See? She knows. She sees through things. She sees things the rest of us didn't before.
Well, this is really not at all. Dame Safina and Sir Caradoc, you can see these three speaking, and maybe it's looking a little bit heated.
Conspiratorial.
I would say, Brother Melian, just because I am famous for my honesty, which means I'm a bit in my cup, so here we are, just saying what we think.
I will point out you get -5 to everything else for being drunk. So that includes your honesty. It goes down by 5. But so does the other trait, so it might not matter.
You probably should be careful. You know? Look, do I like Sir Quegan very much? I think he's a bit of an arse. But he is part of our crew. So, I would say, don't cross him. Because it might mean you're crossing all of us. And I don't care for, follow, or really quite respect your god. So that won't stop me. And then I walk off.
Whoa.
Well, and as you, sorry, so just did Dame Safina and Sir Caradoc, did you come closer to
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah. I did the thing at a party where you grab your drink and you just kind of hover until you find into your conversation.
As Fiona, as you turn to walk away, you stumble because you nearly walk directly into someone who I guess was standing very close behind you, and you are a bit drunk, and you stumble into this person. And the rest of you, as soon as this happens, you note the Brother Melian bows his head like this, very, very, very hastily. This woman is garbed in a dress of green silk embroidered with gold, and her head is lightly crested with a matching hood. Thick braids of the deepest red hair frame what is perhaps the most beautiful face you have ever seen.
Oh, no.
It's King Arthur.
Eyes the color of a raven with blue traces like lightning bolts find each of you, and the corner of her full lips turn up almost as if to her you were expected. And Brother Melian says,
I'm sorry. Have you met Her Highness Queen Morgan of Gore?
I will kind of genuflect and cast down my eyes. Please, lady, forgive me for stumbling
briefly. I will actually briefly interrupt you because I'm about to ask you to do a role that might affect exactly what you say next after your forgiveness. All of you, sorry, I will say, I'm looking at the wrong fucking book. Am I? Yes, I am. Each of you whose character is attracted to women, and that is up to whoever thinks their character may be attracted to women. I need you to make 3 rolls. Are you just putting your hand up to say you're attracted to women, or do you have a question?
I like women.
Yeah. You like women?
Okay. You can count on me, boss.
Okay. You can count on me.
I need you to make 3 rolls. All right. Okay. You need to. Where the fuck is it?
I think Sophina would definitely be curious, but okay. Maybe her religious beliefs might. Well, but yeah, she's still. I'm rolling.
Okay.
I'm rolling.
Fiona, I think, is absolutely bisexual.
Okay. So all of you need to make these 3 rolls, and you only need to let me know if you succeed all 3 of them.
Okay.
You need to roll against lustful, you need to roll against arbitrary, and you need to roll against honest.
And our lustful, if we're drunk, is a +5 right now.
Correct.
And it's -5 for the other ones?
You're arbitrary, I think so.
I mean, arbitrary seems like it would go up.
Should go up. Yeah, let me check.
If we succeed these individually, do we mark them or only if we get all 3?
Reckless, indulgent. Don't. Yes, mark them if you succeed as normal.
Great, thank
you. Yeah, you know what?
It's just skills, right? I don't think it's traits.
Sorry, it is just skills. Sorry, it's -5 to all skills. So yeah, your other traits are not a -5, but your lustful is a +5.
You did mention Valorous, though.
Valorous does go up. That goes up. So some of them went up. Valorous, Reckless, and Indulgent, and Lustful all went up by 5 while you're drunk. If you're drunk.
Was Valorous the last one?
Yeah, but Dame Sophina, you're not drunk. Oh, the last.
Oh, so these other ones are not affected.
What's the last thing we have to roll?
So you need to roll Lustful, Arbitrary, and Honest. And only let me know if you succeed all of them.
I failed all 3.
Okay.
You failed all 3. Okay.
Yeah.
I got them all.
Did
I got
you really?
Them all, baby. I am quite lustful, famously honest, and quite arbitrary. These all play to every single one of my trait strengths.
Yeah, for real.
This all checks out.
I succeeded lustful all with the +5 and arbitrary, but failed on honest.
Okay. And Sakaradoc?
I crit on lustful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Amazing.
And I
this
failed,
woman is something else.
Yeah. And I failed arbitrary and I succeeded on honesty.
Okay. All right. Well, just note your critical success for glory in the next winter phase.
Okay.
Everyone's like, wow, he's certainly feeling his oats today, isn't he? Whatever they said. Okay. Dame Fiona's the only one who succeeded all 3. So can you please roll a d6 and let me know what you get?
Yeah. A six.
So you are going to add on your character sheet, under your passions, everyone will note this, there is a section, you know, the passion, there are different passion families. Fidelitas, fervor, adoratio, and civilitas. Adoratio, you've got space for devotion to your deity, and there's only one other space.
Yeah.
And that is for this passion, which is adoration.
Yeah.
And your adoration is 11 for Queen Morgan.
Cool.
Adoration is a special passion because you can invoke it once per day for any reason. Just like any other passion. And it gives you a +10 regardless of whether you if you succeed the roll, you get +10. You don't have to crit to get +10. However, you are likely more prone to becoming miserable when the such as if you are reminded of the object of your adoration, but that person is not actually there, you might get miserable.
Sure.
So it is like a special passion that you can draw upon to get +10 if you succeed. So,
wow.
Cool. There's one other roll everyone else needs to make. Sorry. Everyone, please can make either a... where the hell am I? Look at the wrong thing. Everyone can either choose to make a recognize or intrigue roll when you see Queen Morgan.
Okay.
Also me?
Everybody, yeah. Yes. Recognize or intrigue.
I'll do an intrigue.
Fail.
I succeeded.
And a natural 2 succeeded on intrigue.
Mm-hmm. Did everyone succeed?
I failed.
Okay, so Dame Safina and Sir Quigan, apparently the only two people who are switched on at court. you have heard of Queen Morgan of Gore. She married a much older man.
It's King Lot, right?
No, King Uriens. King Uriens of Gore. Okay. Who recently bent the knee to Arthur after the slaying of King Lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Sir Quigan and Dame Safina, you know this. Anyway, that was a lot of stuff we condensed into what would have occurred in the space of about 3 seconds. So, you've just walked into this woman.
Oh, m'lady, forgive me for my clumsiness. I admittedly have perhaps had a bit too much ale and should have been paying better attention to. Oh,
there is nothing to forgive, dear.
Just
please.
So beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
She laughs. No, calm yourself, please. It's all right. Thank you.
I don't know if I can.
Thank you for introducing us, Brother Melian.
And he nods.
Oh, yes, of course, Your Highness, how I... That will be all.
And he turns and scurries away.
The way you just dismissed him, that was truly something.
Thank you. So, you are the household knights of the newly wedded Lady Gwynhilt of Montacute. Is that correct?
Yes.
We have that honor, Your Grace.
We've done many, deep bow. Many brave things to protect this household, yes.
We've done many brave things.
And as an aside, she'll go to Sir Caradoc. She smells amazing.
Does she? I've heard tell that you smell incredible, Your Grace.
Yes, well, only certain men would be able to tell you that. Or women, I should say.
Oh, I perhaps my nose is not refined enough to detect it.
And she leans forward to you and she says, well, I think you have a, and as she says this, she taps you on the tip of your nose, a beautiful Roman nose.
She noticed my Roman nose.
And when she did that, you got close enough to see she does smell very nice, and she has beautiful arms.
Oh. Sophina's like a little like, now her whole life flashes before her. I was like, what am I now?
That was my
she's,
thing.
She's my goodness. My thing. Do you not smell and arms?
She smells almost as good as you do, Sophina, Lady Sophina. That's quite remarkable.
Identity crisis sweeps over her.
How are you finding the festivities here, milady?
Of course, it is truly lovely to have been invited to visit. It's a beautiful town you have here. I really admire the tree you have out the front of the hall as well.
Oh.
There's something about it, don't you think?
Yes, I do think. It's a bit haunting, isn't it?
Curious way to describe it. Now, speaking of haunting, she looks to Sir Quigan. You, Sir Knight, have been very silent. You have an air about you. And she steps closer and puts her hand, just the tips of her fingers, on your shoulder. And she looks you up and down. Says, oh, you have an air of mystery and a fierce gaze upon you. Such stories you must be able to tell. And she reaches forwards and just delicately glides the back of her slender fingers over your eye patch, your eye sock, your eye sleeve. Just very
eye
delicately.
Sash.
And then,
it's
and
a
then,
sash.
Eye sash. That's the word I was looking for.
Sash, Mom.
It's a sash.
Tash.
You wench.
Shut up, woman.
And she steps.
Shut
and
up, you dumb queen.
you honor me, Your Grace. I'm sorry. I was not expecting to meet you this evening. I'm at a loss for words. My apologies.
Oh, there is no reason to lose your words. You will find them again, Sir Quigan, I'm sure.
Indeed, thank you.
And tell me,
you honor us by traveling all this way to the festivities.
What act of untold bravery did lead to such a brutal maiming of an otherwise beautiful face?
Yes, Aquegan, what act of untold bravery? Share it with everyone.
I glances over to Fiona. Just added her to the list with Brother Melvin.
After I stood up for you, I'm sorry.
You see the look
in his
eye.
She called you beautiful. She touched your face. Okay.
Added to the list.
I love that he's basically Richard Nixon. Like, he shares so many traits with Richard Nixon, like he's got, except for the height. Like he's got the enemies list. He's got
and he's just digging himself deeper and deeper.
Is he also jolly?
Yeah.
He's
my lady. I'd never.
It was, I'm afraid, a rather embarrassing robbery in the woods, Your Grace. I was jumped by bandits on the road, is all, and I barely fought my way out of it. But I'm very lucky to be here, and of course very lucky to be in your presence.
She just takes in every word, like her mouth slightly agape and those stormy eyes of raven color, just fixated on you the entire time. And she nods slowly.
Oh, such terror you must have felt in your heart. Did you fear for the lost sight of your child and your wife? You must have felt that for a moment that you would never see them again, surely. Such terror I couldn't describe.
And he locks eyes with her a little bit longer, maybe a bit of a curiosity. Could I do an intrigue roll here? And like,
how does she know?
How
about
does
your
she
family?
Know I've got a wife and a baby? Like, how does she know anything about me?
You can make an intrigue roll.
Yeah, I'm just curious if this is normal for someone of her position to know this much about just a vassal knight in some house. I rolled a 3, so that's a success.
So what this with that success? What you'd get if she knows that? There are two options. Either she is a powerful sorceress, or she is just a queen who is very involved in court, and before she goes somewhere, she learns exactly what she can about everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I think he's leaning sorcerer. Like, especially like as his madness creeps from behind, and there's a chill goes down his spine, and he just looks across at her and says, oh, you are quite right.
That and your wife and child are right behind you. But that's, you know. Right.
You are quite right, Your Grace. I did fear very much so that I'd never see them again. As I say, very lucky to be here tonight.
She nods and smiles.
Anyway, you truly must meet Sir Caradoc. He is the most charming of us all. Caradoc!
Oh, hello. Back again. My cape. Hello, Your Grace. I see you've been speaking with our friend. He has a lot of good qualities. I'm like winking.
The ass of your little cohort, according to Dame Fiona, right?
Oh, that is meant affectionately.
Of course, that's why I jest and laugh. Yes. So,
you know, Sir Quicken, and I lean down, way down, to whisper in Sir Quicken's ear. You know, I can loan you my cloak if you want it, if you want to talk to her some more. Also, this is heavy, like, alcohol breath. I can write you a poem. I've written one about Sophina, about how good she smells and about her arms, but I can change the rhyming scheme and make it about Green Walk.
He gets up and says, well, I'll be taking my leave.
Yeah, that did remind me a little bit of a couple of Gen Cons ago where that exact thing happened with me and Skid. And Skid, you'd had a bit to drink, and do you remember your party trick that you pulled out at that you did in my face about 4 inches from my face? Do you remember this party trick?
No.
Apparently, Skid can just recite like the first page of the Canterbury Tales.
Oh yeah, I've heard that this party trick. Yeah,
yeah. Unprompted. It was unprompted. It was like, what the hell is happening? Yeah. I thought I was having a stroke.
I wasn't sure. It really does.
It really does sound like someone's trying to cast a spell on you or something.
Yeah.
Or like somebody's gone mad when they start. Yeah.
Yeah.
One in a field with a sure sword.
Yeah, exactly. We all know how it goes.
Bore everyone with the details of that.
So you go to take your leave. She turns.
As I'm leaving, says, "You're looking a little chilly there, Sir Quigan." And he just puts his cloak over his shoulders.
Caradoc, it's not.
Now he's dwarfed by.
Putting three feet of this cloak going to get dirty.
Exactly. Like a child wearing his father's trench coat.
Yes. Yeah.
Flopped out onto the floor.
And
I leave, nodding at his wife and children as I walk away.
Yeah, so they're sitting there quietly as they're told. And Queen Morgan does gesture to Dame Safina.
My Dame, you have also been so quiet. And might I say, you are regally beautiful. You're like a sun burning in the sky of what would otherwise be this black and empty hall. Many must tell you this.
I mean, many, many do. You don't hear it enough sometimes. It's just, she's kind of like stumbling about her words. And then she's like, man, she really does smell amazing. It's an honor for me to make your acquaintance. What would she be like? Your Highness?
Your Grace.
Please, I hope it is not forward of me to ask how are you well acquainted with the Lady Montacute and her soon to be husband? What's Maurice's last name? Because I don't think they've been on first name basis.
It would be the Lord Maurice or her Lord husband
her husband consort, whatever. But she has, are you well acquainted with the Lady Montacute and her?
No.
And she leans in almost conspiratorially.
And if I must say so, I'm here because I was asked to be by that new king that we all have. Someone needed to make an appearance to lend this union a bit of, you know, import. But...
Judging here whatsoever, none whatsoever, but I thought it was a little strange myself, and so I was primarily here to see to it that if there were any doubts made by the Lady Montacute, that I would stand in her favor should she object.
Well, you know, a woman's mistakes are hers to make. That's what I always think.
I mean, in these days, you are probably right. it's just, and not that I would know primarily, but, you know, gout is such a strange thing to be okay with. I mean,
be okay with.
Gout is such a strange thing to tolerate.
I mean, what kind of union is this? He'll be dead in a year's time.
As these celebrations move deeper into night, so the bride and groom must retire to their chambers, where some say the real joining is done.
Oh, no. Tell me another Brother Melian Prima Nocta.
Before taking their leave, they come down from their table and bid adieu to each of their esteemed guests. Lady Gwynhilt, of course, makes a point to do so to her honored household knights, and she approaches you now where you all stand with the Queen. Her hand is on the crook of her husband's elbow, and her other arm is wrapped around the young ward Thomas, who is all but asleep sitting on her hip, looking about with bleary eyes and suckling her thumb.
Thank you all for coming, she says.
And for your most loyal service.
Her husband adds with a glance to Dame Sophina.
Uh-oh.
Hmm.
What? She just looks at his feet. And looks back up.
Well, thank you for allowing us to join in with your celebrations. And it is always nice to see Thomas again.
Yeah, the baby's just looking at you. Like, direct eye contact. He hasn't learned a thing.
Hi. He hasn't learned. That's all right. You know what? At this point, your station is now probably higher than mine when you think about it. Just through, like, adoption things, so.
Mm-hmm. Eye contact is fine now.
I really should be the one averting my eyes. You know?
Well, have you all had a good time?
It's a paradox. Sorry, you're about to
I just actually wanted to ask a procedural question.
Sure. So,
at this point, it's common knowledge, or would be common knowledge, that Morgan is Arthur's sister, right? Her half-sister.
No? Maybe?
No.
Not really?
I think.
Maybe.
Because they share a mother, so it's like...
Sure. Well, I mean, I don't know if you've heard that Morgan. Yet. Not sure if you've heard that yet.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, well, maybe not. Okay.
No. Because her husband only just got in. You personally haven't even met Arthur yet, so...
I want
to. Yeah, I know. Maybe you will one day.
He's so famous.
Yeah. Yes. He's the king.
I know.
True king.
I've had a delightful time and so many lovely, wonderful guests. So many appealing people here. Thank you for having them all.
Of course. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for coming too, Dame...
Fiona.
Yeah, tip of my tongue, eh?
Who am I for you to know name of, truly?
Lady Gwynthild says, as she does her best to curtsy as Queen Morgan approaches. Your Highness, we thank you again for gracing us so with your presence. The honor is mine, the Queen responds. Can you all please make an awareness roll, remembering Sir Quegan, you're at -5 for this...
Shoot.
I am too, right?
I failed. I failed.
Fail.
Okay, so
maybe
just...
because I'm really watching Queen Morgan.
You notice that Queen Morgan is smiling and cooing at the young Thomas. It's very like she's being very, very motherly, like, you know, very kind.
Oh,
yeah, to award,
God.
Yeah. Yes.
We thank you, Your Highness. Your honor is you honor our house and our people. And in the absence of King Arthur, you truly warm our halls.
And Queen Morgan nods and says, "Well, I'm sure he wishes he could be here.
Oh, perhaps one day we shall be so lucky as to be invited to his wedding." And he exclaims, and his lady wife and many nearby guests laugh. If you'd like to make a courtesy roll to know what is appropriate here, you can do so. If you just like to make a judgment call and tell me what you do.
Do we have -5 for this too?
Courtesy, I think, is -5. You're pissed, yeah.
Yeah. I succeeded. Critically succeed on it then.
Okay. Ooh,
wow. Nice. I succeeded with the -5. I rolled a 5 and I got it. Under 6.
Well done.
I failed.
And Dame Sophina?
I succeeded.
You succeed. So those who succeed know that it is polite to laugh. And with that critical success, Dame Fiona, you really lay it on thick. I reckon, probably, you know?
That would be so good. That would be, yes, quite to the honor.
Yes.
Why are you all laughing? I don't understand. It wasn't funny. Rude not to share a private joke.
Those of you who are laughing, can you please make an intrigue roll?
Okay.
Oh, yes. Oh, man, I love all this intrigue at court.
Crit. 15.
Oh, man, another natural 3 on an intrigue roll. Crushing intrigue.
That. You fumbled it.
I fumbled it. I got a 20.
Okay. 20.
That matters in this case.
It won't really. You're just like, everybody in this room knows exactly what to do at all times, including yourself primarily.
as the crit into the fumble roll. So, Quigan, did you pass, you said?
I did, yeah.
And Dame Safina?
Crit.
You passed? You crit!
Yeah.
Right, there's so much happening. So Quigan, you notice that, you know that it is courteous to laugh because the Lord of the Hall has made a joke and everyone is laughing. So both you and Dame Safina notice that Queen Morgan is barely smiling at his joke about maybe one day going to King Arthur's wedding. And with that critical success, Dame Safina, you also notice that those stormy raven eyes that she has, looking from young Thomas and glance actually over to you during this raucous guffaw. Anyway, the Lord and Lady then depart with their ward, and the merrymaking continues.
What just happened?
So that was weird, right?
Queen Morgan's wandered away, and she's making talk.
Here's what I don't understand, honestly. Why is she marrying him? Because she already knows what it's like to be in a marriage she doesn't like, which is how we met her in the first place. She brought that person in to kill her husband. So why is she marrying this guy now? She knows that. I don't know.
I don't understand. Is he terrible? Disgusting in every way.
Did you see the queen? Did you see the queen?
Yes, she seems to very much like the baby. Yes, she seems very taken with the child, but does not, wouldn't even give a smile towards the jerk we all had to pretend to be fine funny.
Listen, this might sound unbelievable to all of you, but just bear with me for a moment. That tattoo, that marking on Thomas, you remember it?
Yes.
I think that is associated with, the old gods and perhaps even Merlin himself. And if that's the case, does she maybe take an interest in Thomas? Because of that marking, is there something he is destined for? The way that Arthur himself was destined out of obscurity to become our king. Could it be related in some way? Is she here specifically for the child? Am I extrapolating?
You're drunk.
I don't know. Something must be.
Yes. What does that have to do with anything?
Drunkenness aside,
what, do you think
something
she's
is amiss.
To kidnap the child?
Well, maybe not kidnap, but maybe he's meant for greater things. Well, and she knows that. I don't know.
Under all his circumstances, where he could have been killed, this child, he's now in safe hands and with a lineage.
Just
he's
while
being protected.
While this conversation is going on, I'd like to use this opportunity to use the other half of the intoxication rules, because it's been a few hours. Could everyone please make an energetic roll?
Are we being too loud?
Dame Safina, you don't need to make an energetic roll because you are not drunk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I've ever rolled energetic.
I haven't either. I was like, what? That's a thing?
I actually passed this.
You passed?
Yeah. 7 under 8.
Oh my god. I passed 2. Another natural 3.
Okay. Wow. Nice. Remember to check your box and circuit. Yeah.
I passed with a 4 under 14.
Oh, well done. Okay.
Very energetic, old man.
You all succeed.
I have the energy of a man half my size.
Well, you are still drunk, so, and time has passed. So you're a bit dull and sleepy. So you're still just at -5 to all your skills, but you are not at +5 to all the good stuff anymore.
All right.
And you're supposed to check this every few hours, but just a fun thing, if you fumbled that roll, you just pass out and you're comatose and don't.
literally just
get drunk on the couch, just because no one can make you up, which is pretty funny. And if you crit it, you actually sober up magically, I guess.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
anyway.
Cool.
So, yeah, you're all just a bit dull and asleep. So, yeah, you just.
I think that.
half-littered. Anyway, so sorry, continue. I just need to we had to do that as time had passed. So go on, Dame Safina.
Something is amiss here. I understand that with an important wedding, that there would be people of high stature and rank that would attend, but her interest seems elsewhere. Her interest seems to be with the child.
How does she even know of the child? I mean, she knew of my wife.
She knew a lot about you, my friend.
Yes. That look in her eye. I don't know. She seems... She knows more than she should. I don't know.
Where's Snoopy?
Really? That well-read? That well-informed? By the way, is she traveling with, like, an entourage? Like, does she have,
there,
like,
there
a
will
bunch
be people of...
of
her that are... They'll be scattered around the space.
Does she have guards? Like, personal... like, guards that are following her?
She will have, but they're not, you know, constantly on her in this space because there are a lot of, you know, knights.
But they might be right outside the room or something.
Or they're probably inside the room and outside the room, milling around, yeah. To answer your question, Snoopy Wheels is pretending to fornicate with a stool in front of the troubadours right now.
Yep.
Everyone's laughing. Yeah.
Perhaps we should consult with that horrible clown. Perhaps he knows something.
He might know. He might know something.
He could.
I promise
you. He seems... to, despite all appearances, know more than he lets on.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Snoopy Winkles! we're needing a bit of entertainment.
Here I come! Here I come! Spank my bum and smack my ass! It's been a long night! What do you want, Dame Fiona?
Yes. Right, now listen... is Queen Morgan, is she here for more than what it seems?
For more? Everyone wants more. More beer, more wine, more love and lust and lots of love. Lots of love. Dame Fiona!
Yes?
Dame Fiona, your name has been spake off to me! Tonight,
have it.
By
have
him,
you. He points who? In the corner, very drunk and half asleep against a wall, is the mercenary Idwallon.
Oh, really? Well, that's quite interesting.
Yes, tis. And you, he points at Sir Caradoc. You. Oh, the Lord Mother likes you. She asked me to sing a song about you, and I had to make up a song about you, but all I could think of was your big, beefy nose!
Well, that's... You're quite fortunate that my merciful is at a 16.
It's a Roman nose, thank you very much.
This is Roman. We're proud of it, thank you. Did she really say that she... likes me. I mean, likes me.
She certainly inferred it. Why else would she ask me to sing a song about you?
Well, my goodness. Am I blushing?
Yes, you are, actually.
Oh, fuck.
Perhaps you should pen... Perhaps you should pen her a note. Asking her.
Good idea.
There are two boxes. One she can check poem. Off.
But I must get best back to my jesting before my Lord Owen beats me again. Oh, and he starts to walk away. Owen, Sir Queegan.
Love the road.
And like, as he like calls to him, you know, he's like freezes, like paralyzes, almost in fear that he's like even looking at him. She's like, what?
Love the robe.
And he turns away and dances.
That was a very Hannibal Lecter moment from Snoopy Winkles.
For real.
The note should read, "Dost thou like me?" And with a box that says
yes.
And a box that says nay.
And I shall scribe two boxes. Yes, exactly. One for yay and one for nay. brilliantly conceived, Dame Sophia.
If only I was literate enough to write it myself.
Well, perhaps one day I shall teach you of this art. So now, truly, I shall be the benefit. I should...
Benefactor.
All right, let me just write it down.
My orate's at an 11. My literacy is at a 6, so...
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Dame Sophina, while you are not indulging so much, the lateness of the hour and the food, and I'm sure you've had a glass of wine, you just didn't make yourself drunk, right? But it's late and you've been up and you've been doing all this intrigue, you know, it's courtly time takes its toll. So you maybe as the time begins to pass and people are still talking and you know your fellow knights are off gossiping or you know trying to do whatever it is they're going to do with the various NPCs that are around. You rest in whatever quiet you're able to find upon the trestle tables. You know, just sipping slowly from a cup of water. Just you know, just you've ever been at a really busy party and you sit alone, even though there's people like right here.
Overstimulated,
sort of, and you feel kind of just
yeah.
Anyway, the Queen Morgan addresses you privately. Isn't it strange how a newly married woman and her husband coddle so with a child not of their blood? They are but months from discarding it. Hours, perhaps, should the good Lord Maurice prove strong in the wedding bed. I'm sure a knight as virtuous as you would agree that such a tender babe would do better around someone who cared for him despite his parentage. Wouldn't you say?
Well,
but you can't reply.
Oh.
You can't reply, not because you cannot speak, and not because you're unsure of what you're going to say. You cannot reply because the Queen Morgan has addressed you from the other side of the hall.
Oh, what the fuck?
Her eyes directly on you without ever having opened her mouth.
See?
And that is Pendragon under an iron sky.
Oh, my God.
I knew it.
What is this face? Sorcery.
Y'all are all around the side.
Oh, I love this so much.
Oh, man. So,
I love getting into like some of the actual like cast of characters from the legendary.
I think I'm not sure if anyone other than Skid picked up on any of that. If anyone knew who she might have been when she was
I don't know.
No,
There are some names that are similar, and I thought that was a slightly different name than Morgan. But yes,
okay,
I had a confused fight. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, this is awesome.
So cool.
Well, we will find out what happens in when we conclude our story, which is called. Anyone remember what it was called?
The Queen's Wedding.
The Queen's Wedding.
The possessive. Possessive apostrophe.
Yeah.
It is a wedding, but not for the queen, but it was her event.
Oh, anyway, this is so cool.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we'll see you next week.
For part two of the Queen's Wedding.
Of the Queen's Wedding.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Look, we all know there are a lot of celebrity interview podcasts out there, but there's only one Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz, and yeah, I'm the host of the show, so I'm a little biased, but truly Happy, Sad, Confused is the place for nerdy and intimate conversations with all your favorite actors and filmmakers. From Andrew Garfield and Scarlett Johansson to Christopher Nolan and Quentin Tarantino, for over 10 years and over 700 episodes, Happy, Sad, Confused has broken movie and TV news every single week. That's because I ask all the questions I want to know, and more importantly, you want to know. Casting what-ifs, backstage stories, acting pet peeves, and much more. So whether you're into superheroes, prestige TV, or just the coolest actors and directors alive, you're going to learn something in every episode. Listen to Happy, Sad, Confused on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.